All right, Craig, thank you. Did you want to make a comment? I saw your...
Well, it was earlier when, you know, the lady was talking about not looking over, no looky-looing.
Yeah, no rubbernecking.
That's dangerous because there's an accident over there, but the debris can get over into other lanes. I used to be a tow truck driver for a brief time, and you would have entire front ends of cars, bumpers, that you don't see on the ground. Yeah, you're going to be inconvenienced a little bit, but it is dangerous to just be cruising at 70 and putting blinders on past an accident, even if it's on the other side of the lanes. You got to be careful to see something might have been thrown into your lane. You don't know.
Yeah. So, but watch the lane.
Yeah, watch the lane. Sure. You know, be aware of your surroundings.
All right. If you're just tuning in, my guest is Cal Poly civil engineering professor, Dr. Anurag Pandey. He specializes in traffic studies. If you want in on this conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. The professor has agreed to give us an extra segment. And you wanted to clarify the statement about increasing speed on highways versus decreasing speed on city streets.
Right. And again, it's not a one-size-fits-all solution, but what I was saying that in general, our highway speed limits are too low, and our city speed limits on the city streets, urban streets, and neighborhood streets is too high, I think.
Right.
And I know they're based on speed studies and everything, and I know how they're conducted and all that, but maybe we need to kind of work our infrastructure in a way so we can slow people down in the city streets and maybe speed them up on the highway somehow.
John's in Napomo on KVEC. Hi, John.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, John.
Hey, my question, I had a couple questions, but the first one would be the state of California, in its wisdom, has decided that semi-trucks should go 55 max and cars go 65. The rest of states, hardly any of the other states have those same rules, especially on the western states, where they have big stretches and stuff like that. I'm just wondering what the state of California's reasoning was for doing that, and is that going to continue? Do you think they might bring the speed limit for semis?
Doctor, you have any knowledge on that?
I think it's just the stopping distance that the semis require is larger, so it makes sense for them to be driving a somewhat slower speed than the rest of the traffic, and that's where the lane restrictions come in as well. So if they're restricted onto the right lane, it's supposed to be safer than basically have some slowed down traffic everywhere.
You think that's the case then? The rest of states don't seem to think that's a problem, I guess.
And every state, I don't have an intelligent comment on that because I haven't studied that issue. But some states that do have the different speed limits, some don't, and they must have done some research. And then sometimes, maybe there is a research required, and you may be absolutely correct in that. Maybe we need to look at that issue, but I personally haven't done that. So.
All right, we'll leave it at that. I appreciate the call, John. Thank you. I promised the professor I'd have him home in time for dinner. So we're going to take two more calls, and that's it. George is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, George.
Hi, gang. Happy Friday.
And to you, sir.
I was going to say one place I don't feel that a traffic circle should be put in there is on Foothill in Santa Rosa. Now, there's a good reason for it, why I say that. Okay, the only road that you can get large equipment, like somebody bringing in a lowboy with a tank on it or a tank wrecker or a howitzer, would be that way. You couldn't take it down Highway 1. You couldn't take it down 46 or 41.
What?
Mm-hmm. And, you got to think about this, military usage and things like that for trying to bring something like that, or some gigantic crane.
Is that a factor, Doctor?
Yeah, obviously you look at the design vehicle, right? What's your design vehicle for that road? And all the infrastructure that we build should be able to accommodate that design vehicle, be it fire vehicles, be it some big equipment and whatnot. So,
right.
Yeah, that's always looked at.
George, thank you. Last call goes to Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hey, how are you?
Great, Pat. Thank you. What's up?
I like the idea of the roundabouts. I was in Ireland, and they were fantastic. And Buckley and 227 is a good spot for one. I think it'd be great in it. And moving cars constantly is way better than stop and go. I'm all for it.
Right. That's a key point, Professor, the idea that traffic keeps going with a roundabout. It never stops.
Yeah, in terms of the operations, that's the key point. But obviously, the other big point is the safety that we talked about at the beginning of the hour, last hour, where you know there are fewer conflict points, less severe collisions, and all that. So yeah, in terms of operations, yes, that's right. You don't stop vehicles, and then that could be safer as well in preventing some rear end types of collisions.
Yeah, Pat, anything else?
I was curious as to how they handle pedestrians crossing where the roundabout is.
Good question.
You know, in some cases, they would even put like some kind of a light. Not at the roundabout, slightly up off the roundabout to have the pedestrian crossing, and then they give pedestrians the islands to kind of have them kind of go to those islands as a refuge. Whenever you know they need to kind of get there, they can cross a smaller portion of the road and then get to the island and then they cross the next section.
Like the game Frogger?
Yeah, a little bit. Good one, Pat. Thanks for calling in. Is it more dangerous for pedestrians on a roundabout?
No, not especially, but again, you have to look at what your pedestrian flow is and all those things. So there is no one-size-fits-all answer.
Craig wants to know if you factor idiots into your traffic models.
we design for 85th percentile. So if 85th percentile is bad, like, you know, not a great driver, you know, it is what it is.
So. Dr. Bonney, it's been a pleasure. We appreciate so much your time. So, again, people can contact you directly through Twitter. Your handle is polyprof. Spell your last name.
Pande, P as in Peter, A-N-D-E.
And just welcome anybody's comments, thoughts about traffic on the Central Coast.
Yeah, I would love to hear people kind of hit me up on Twitter with any questions. Maybe you throw in a picture of the or map of the location that you're looking at. And I would just learn to know where community issues are. And then maybe we can study it. I teach classes. I have like 20 students who will do whatever I tell them to do. So maybe we can study that as a class project.
I love that.
It'll be fun.
Last question. City Council in San Luis Obispo seems determined that we're going to be out of our cars by 2030. Do you share that belief?
I don't. I'm skeptical. Let's put it this way.
Good answer.
You know, old habits die hard. We are a car. This is California. We are a car culture. I think we had the first motel here in San Luis Obispo, from what I hear.
Yep.
That's all car culture, right? I don't know if we can just shrug it off so quickly, but I think it'll be nice to have all modes accommodated on our city streets anyway. So that'll be nice.
Doctor, we appreciate your time. We hope you'll come back. Final thoughts, sir.
Just hit me up on Twitter. I just engage with Cal Poly. Think of Cal Poly as an ally. Again, I'm not speaking as an official spokesperson for Cal Poly, but we just love to be in this community, and let's try to see what we can do about the traffic issues. We have to live with it, but let's see how we can make it better.
Well said. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Dave.
All right, off we go. I'll take a break, and then what's on your mind? We'll find out. Last call up next. Six 18 on Hometown Radio. This is Dave Congleton. Thanks again to Professor Pondy for coming in. Hell, Craig, I thought I was on NPR there for a while. We had an actual expert. Oh, there you are.
Okay. Yeah, right. This is more entertaining than NPR.
Well, you know, NPR has the experts. We just have the people come in and, you know, give opinions. Here we had a bona fide expert. He was great. He had reached out to me. I'm trying to remember my history on this. Before my heart surgery. So we had to delay it, but it was well worth the wait. I could have kept him for another hour. I had all these questions I wanted to ask him about traffic. So I think we have a new member of the KVC family. Well done, Professor. Well done. Welcome back. I'm Dave Congleton. Craig Hill is here. And Craig, I just want to take a minute. This is an important week in the evolution of KVEC. You and... Mark Wilson launched the new show at noon.
Yep.
Just kind of give us a report. How are things going?
It's going good. It's, you know, people always ask, okay, what's tomorrow's show going to be about? And I don't know. It really is dictated to by what's in the news, like many radio shows. But, you know, we don't have guests necessarily, at least not yet. And the show is not in full swing. It's not now what it's going to be. because we don't have anyone answering the phone, so that's being a little difficult. We don't have the web stuff up just quite yet. So it's a slow building process, and we're still kind of feeling things out how formulaic it's going to be, how the formula is going to be.
Are you going to do traffic?
No.
Why wouldn't you do traffic?
I mean, if there's something, you know, if there's an accident, but I'm not going to go on every 30 minutes or have somebody else go on every 30 minutes and say that there's nothing to tell you, you know. So, and the show is so small anyway. I mean, we're only 2 hours. So that really cuts into, you know, every minute counts on a show like that. I mean, we're really jammed.
I will simply point out Jeff Williams. Jeff Williams, our former program director in the Claire Channel days, I learned two things from him. He said, number one, a segment with no phone calls is better than a segment with bad phone calls.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. I'll just pass along, and you, Mark, use this or not. I used the same argument with him on traffic because we were doing traffic top of the hour, bottom of the hour, quarter after quarter of. And I said, can't we just do top and bottom? You know, and do we really have to do traffic when there's no traffic? He said, absolutely, because you want to remind people that we do traffic so that when there is traffic, they tune into you. I just leave it at that.
We'll take it under advisement.
Okay. Have your people talk to my people.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're excited. The all-new Mark Wilson show debuted last Monday and is going to continue from noon until 2 weekdays.
Yep. And
so what time do you get in? What do you? Because now you're full time.
Yeah, I got to be clocked in at 10:45.
Yeah,
and even that's kind of a little late. I mean, for the amount of research and stuff that I'm doing, I probably get here maybe a little earlier than that. But yeah, I get here 10:45, and then on air by noon. Try to squeeze in 30 minutes for lunch, which is lucky, and then on to this show, and then out the door 7:15.
That is a full day.
Yeah.
All right. And so, and also, after Mark's show, we're continuing with Dave Ramsey from 2 until 3.
Yeah, he's still there.
You get that one-hour fix of Dave Ramsey, and then we're along at 3:05. So that's that new schedule. Scott and Andy from 6 to 9. Rush Limbaugh stays the same from 9 until noon. Mark and Craig from noon until 2. Dave Ramsey. And then Craig's back with me from 3 to 7.
Yeah, we got, and like you said, we do have that additional 2 extra hours of local. Now, not every necessary topic is local. It's, you know, we cover whatever's in the news, but it's coming from this point of view, from the Central Coast point of view, because it's coming from here. So, yeah. And I think it gives people a chance to kind of weigh in on maybe, you know, some topics that, hey, they just heard it and they want to talk about it, but they can't call in to other shows because they're in Washington, D.C., or wherever they're at.
Or they're not live, they're tape delayed, yeah, exactly. Or you don't have 2 hours to wait to get on a phone.
Yeah. Mm. But it gives them a chance.
Also, I'm sorry to George and John and Pat, the callers in the last segment. I didn't mean to hurry you along, but the professor promised his wife he'd be home at 6, and then when we had all the calls coming in, we had to stretch it out till 6:15. But he had to absolutely be home by 6:30. And for those of you in a relationship, you know exactly what that means. So, again, thanks to the professor.
Plus, he knows how to beat the traffic.
Well, yeah. And now, but now he's not in Atascadero anymore. He's out there by Cal Poly. His traffic's pretty clear now, isn't it? Because the main traffic is going up to see Billy Idol at the fair. It's that time of year. Anyway, I'm here. Craig's here. You're here. So we might as well be talking. We throw up the phone lines. And we invite your phone calls, 805-543-8830.
800-549-5832.
It's our Friday night open line. We call this Extravaganza Last Call. And Craig and I sit around after what's been a long, long week for me.
Mm-hmm.
All two shows. I don't know what I'm going to do next week. I've had 3 weeks in a row now where I've not done 5 shows. I may have to do some exercises this weekend.
Yeah, you gotta ease yourself into it.
Anyway, what's on your mind? You want to call and just say hi? You want to promote an event? You want to ask a question? Is there any issue that we have talked about this week that you want to continue? Is there an issue that we have not yet discussed that you want to talk about? That's fine, too. All of that is fair game on this broadcast. This is your time. Less than 2% of the people who listen to talk radio will ever pick up the phone and call in. Which is why the professor was a particularly good guest Because I'm looking at this, and I see six callers that I don't recognize. So his topic and presentation was so good that he was able to get people who don't normally call in, Craig.
That's tough to do.
We know it right now, don't we? You going to go to the fair at all?
I don't think I'm going to have the time. I'd like to, but one, as I mentioned earlier, my son's out of town, and we're just going to be really, really busy over the next couple weeks.
This is the month that if you can't find anything to do on the Central Coast, I just don't know what to tell you. We had the folks from the Central Coast Renaissance Fair earlier today. And we remind you that is going to be here Saturday and Sunday at Laguna Lake Park. A good time will be had by all. Craig has been there with his family.
Oh, yeah.
You got food. You got drink. You got entertainment.
I love the sausages.
It's like being back in England in 1585. You got the fair that runs this weekend and all next week. Billy Idol tonight, Smokey Robinson, and all sorts of country singers. You can check out the Mid-State Fair website and find out what's happening. If you go, just bring plenty of water and be prepared because it's going to be hot during the day, but beautiful at night.
It's not actually not going to be too bad tomorrow. It's going to be 75.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Up in Paso. So it's gonna, actually, no, tomorrow it's going to hit 80, but 80 up there is not that bad.
All right, how about next week? What's it looking like?
That I don't know. But I know tomorrow's going to be pretty nice. And my son is really bummed about missing the fair because he was really looking forward to it. They have a climbing wall where you get to the top and they have like, it's like $100 or $1,000. They have some kind of crazy amount of money at the top of this climbing wall. And if you can get up fast enough and you can reach it, then you get to keep it.
I'm driven in terms of attending the fair by one thing and one thing only, that's the concerts. That's the one thing I care about. If there's a concert I want to see, I make a point of going, and I'll go early so that I can enjoy the whole fair experience.
Not the funnel cakes?
No. And not the turkey corn dogs.
Corn dogs?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm all about the corn dogs.
Yeah. And a couple concerts here I'd be interested in, but after the three concerts I went to this summer already, I'm kind of tapped out.
Yeah. You go to a lot of shows.
I went to three.
I like how, you know what, it's funny because you always say that you're like a homebody, a curmudgeon, you know. Yeah. You go out all the time.
I go to events.
Yeah, that's called going out.
Yeah, but I'm not going to parties.
You're always hiking.
I'm not going to events.
You're always going to concerts. You're always doing things in
I
place.
I went to three.
Yeah, three. I've been to three in the last 20 years.
Well, you got kids. And whatever. Off we go. We've got California headline news. We got ABC Radio News as well. Craig gives us traffic and weather together. Then we go to the phones and see what's on your mind. This is the Dave Congleton Show. Glad to have you with us on Hometown Radio. Dave Congleton and Craig Hill with you. We're here all the way until 7 o'clock. Already looking ahead to the show on Monday. Bruce Sanborn is going to be here. He owns the Downtown Center Cinema Complex. They're celebrating 25 years. When's the last time you saw a movie at the Downtown Center? What's happening with movie theaters? We'll find out. We also have three ladies who are on a tour. They're anti-nuclear energy activists, so we'll hear from them. I've already offered equal time to supporters of nuclear power, so we'll see. We'll try to give you both sides if we can. Also on Monday, Robert Scarola is going to be with us, hospital administrator in Washington, D.C. He's coming through the Central Coast, and I've known Robert for a long, long time. And he's a pretty sharp guy. So we'll talk about what's happening, not happening with health care. That's some of the things we're working on for Monday. Here's the deal. We're here from 3 to 7. As Craig was saying earlier with Mark's show, and I add this to it too, sure, we talk about local issues, but we also give you a chance to give the local perspective on national issues. And anyway, that's what we're doing. So anyway, we're just getting ready for the weekend. Welcome your phone calls at 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Let's go to Alan in San Luis on KVEC. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Dave. Went down to PCPA in Solvang last night. Saw a Million Dollar Quartet. Those guys were absolutely amazing.
Did you see the slow rep production?
No, I didn't get to that one, so that's why I wanted to definitely see this one. And I guess there had been one at the PAC as well, so this is the one I went to.
So this is the one, 1955?
December 56 at Sun Studios, the one that Sam Phillips started.
So you got Elvis Presley.
Correct.
And Jerry Lee Lewis. Carl Perkins.
And
Elvis.
Johnny Cash. And they had all, at this point, Jerry Lee Lewis was just starting and really trying to promote himself. And so he gathered them together, but he also, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't do a spoiler. So I'll just say there was all kinds of things. It wasn't just a concert. There's all kinds of stuff going on.
There's a drama backstage.
Yeah.
And I guess it's largely a true story.
Yeah. I mean, they were running tape. I don't know how much of the conversation was recorded. But yes, I read a biography of Jerry Lee Lewis, and they had talked about it there. It was quite the meeting when you have that much talent. Well, and people go, did they do this song or that song? Well, this was new in their career, so it's not like they all had a large repertoire at that point. There's plenty of music. They did their own singing. They did their own instruments.
Yeah.
And that is something to get somebody who can act, sing well, sing like the part they're supposed to be, and they did that fabulously.
Did you have
and
a favorite?
Play their instruments as well. Like Jerry Lee was pounding on the piano and Carl Perkins going at it with the guitar. The whole thing.
Did you have a favorite of the four?
That was a tough call because the guy who did Jerry Lee Lewis was just absolutely hyper. I think he captured his personality. And just hearing, it was the one who did Johnny Cash doing Ghost Riders in the Sky. Oh, guy was just amazing. There was not a weak one in the bunch.
What do you think of the outdoor venue in Solvang?
I love that. I've done that for many years. And it wasn't super hot in Solvang, so it was getting a little cool, but you have a jacket. The idea is when it's, say, 90 or 100 in the day, if you're just going for the evening, then it's perfect. But it didn't get that cold.
And they give you blankets, and you can get food there. It's a nice
fun. And you can get cushions. Yeah, you got the whole thing going. We parked, the king is, we got early enough to park right by the theater. And then we walked over to Fitzpatrick's Tavern on First Street, just a couple blocks away. Been there before. Good food, good service. And considering how expensive Solvang is, their prices are reasonable.
Fitzpatrick's.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So thumbs up from Alan.
You got it.
All right, sir. Thanks for the call.
You got it.
Have a good weekend. Carol is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Carol.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
Super. Well, actually, I'm kind of exhausted because the Master Gardeners of San Luis Obispo County have been busy all day getting ready for a couple things. May I share?
Sure.
Okay. So tomorrow, for you gardeners out there, we have a workshop on soils, on how to determine what kind of soil you have, and a lot more on that subject. And following that, we have a workshop on irrigation, on how to irrigate your soil, depending on what kind of soil you have. So we have two master gardeners / kind of experts on those subjects, and it's going to be held at 10 a.m. at the Garden of the Seven Sisters, which is 2156 Sierra Way, and that's just off of Johnson and Bishop. So that's going to be happening. And can I add one more thing?
Before you do that, I just want to remind folks that that's right across from the old French hospital. Not French. What am I trying to think of?
General.
General, thank you. It's right across from the old General Hospital.
Exactly. On the opposite side of the street behind the ag building, the public agriculture building. It's kind of hard to find. I mean, you know, you don't expect to see a garden back there, but it's there. Yeah. But here's the thing. The class is actually being held in the auditorium, so it will be in the building. So go inside the building, and there'll be people and signs to help you locate it. But afterwards, we're having another pop-up plant sale following the workshop. And just a reminder, these plant sales fund our garden, and they're really fun. So we've been working on that all day. It's been so much fun. We have a section of pollinator plants to bring in all the bees, the butterflies, ladybugs, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then we have gopher repellent plants, which is fun for you people who are dealing with gophers out there.
So gophers. How does that work? How does a gopher repellent plant work?
Exactly. So a lot of you guys have these gopher mounds out there, and you're using your traps, and you feel like you can't plant anything, but you can. And we have what we call a euphorbia. And the gophers, if they eat it, the roots are toxic and poisonous. So if they did ingest, they would die. But I think nature tells them not to eat the roots, so they don't even bother.
Huh.
So you get this gorgeous plant. It looks like something out of the dinosaur ages. It's very architectural looking, like blue green with chartreuse flowers.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous. So we have 12 of those. So come and get them. We have little ollies. Those are little olive trees.
Yeah.
Right. I could go on and on, but I know you could. 12.
Do you have a website? Do you have a website, Carol?
So you always ask me that. So if you just Google Slow Master Gardeners, you will find us. I promise.
Just Google Slow Master Gardeners and find out everything
there
that Carol's just been talking about.
Yeah.
All right.
So come out. There's a lot to learn, and there's it's getting towards mid, late summer. Not really late, but get out there and plant your pollinators.
This is the time to do it. Slow Master Gardeners. Google.
Yeah.
All right,
thank
Carol.
Thank you, Dave, so much.
Have fun tomorrow. Thanks for letting us know. We'll come back for a final segment. Dave Congleton, Craig Hill. This is Hometown Radio. Top of the hour, it is ABC Radio News. Dave Congleton, Craig Hill, as we wind down the day, the week. I want to come back to what you were saying before about all the stuff that I've been doing. I was thinking about it. And I don't want this to come out wrong, or I don't want any sympathy or pity or anything like that. But I think if there's a reason for it all, Craig, it's being told by the doctor on February 13th that I should have died at the Elton John concert and that I had 99% blockage. When you go through an experience like that and you come out of it and you're lucky enough to come out of it, you decide, hey, what am I going to do? What is it I want to experience before I die? And so when I have a chance like to go see Paul McCartney, I've never seen a Beatle. I want to see a Beatle. That was a great concert. I don't know.
I'm sure it was, but is that why you're heading out? Because even before that, I mean, you know, would say, I'm a curmudgeon, I don't go out.
I don't go out.
But you always are out. You're out more than I am.
Well, again, you got the kids. I think in the last 5 years, because of all the health issues, I've been more open to the idea of experiencing things. Now, I'm still not going to skydive out of a plane. I'm not going to do anything crazy, but if there's an opportunity that comes along to experience a concert or visit somewhere, I'm going to go for it.
You've been
so
visiting,
I think it's a better answer.
You've been visiting hospitals for years, kinds of different ones.
My hospital tour. No, I only go to two. I go to Sierra Vista, and I go to French.
Well, but then there's also not the hospice thing. What was the recovery
house? Oh, yeah, transitions. Very nice people.
You're like a social medicine butterfly.
Very nice people.
I like to take the medical tours.
No, you don't want to take...
Check their facilities.
You don't want to take this medical tour. I wouldn't...
See how their bedpans work.
If you want in on this conversation, such as it is, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830.
800-549-5832.
SOS, our open line. We end the week every week. Just give you a chance to call in. If you just want to say hi, that's fine. You want to promote an event like Carol did, that's fine, too. If you went to see a play or you've eaten at a restaurant like Alan did, you want to call in, that's fine. Talk about an issue we've covered this week. Bring up a totally different issue. It doesn't matter. This is your time. Have you been to the new Taco Temple yet?
No. I kind of, when I find something I like, I stick with it. It's very difficult to get me to try new things.
See, I want to go. I've just been waiting for the line to go down. I drive by there every night. And it looks like Thursday night's the night to go because everybody's at Farmer's Market.
Yeah, I don't go.
All right. So what do you and Mark do when you're not getting calls?
Talk.
Yeah. Okay.
It's hard to say because we always have so much material to go over. It's really wedging in the phone calls, actually.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Back on the phones we go, and we will talk to the one, the only, Marilyn.
Hello, David. Welcome back.
Thank you.
To hear about the 50th wedding anniversary.
Is your radio on?
No.
Okay, there we go. What would you like to know about it, Marilyn? It wasn't mine. It was my brother's.
I know.
Although between all my marriages, I think I might have 50 years.
So I was just wondering, how did they celebrate? Did they just have a private family party? Or
well, what my brother Bruce and his wife Annette did is that they took their three sons, their three daughters-in-law, and their 10 grandchildren on a cruise to Alaska. They're going to get back on Sunday. They've been up in Alaska all this time. In fact, today is the actual anniversary date. So, Bruce and Annette, happy anniversary wherever you are. What happened in Seattle was my other brother, John, and his wife, Felice, hosted two gatherings at their house, both Friday and Saturday night, where we brought everybody out on Friday night. John had a salmon barbecue, and on Saturday we just ordered pizza and kept it simple. But here's the deal, Marilyn, is that some of these nieces and nephews I had never met. They had never met me. Some of these cousins had never met each other. So, I mean, do the math. Along with John's daughter and son-in-law and two kids, I think that's like 26 people.
It sounds marvelous.
No, it's fantastic.
Yeah, so I was just curious, you know, if it was going to be, you know, slow or... But it sounds like it was very upbeat, and I congratulate them.
Yeah.
50 years is a long time.
John was the perfect host, and my nephew, Stephen, who's a police officer down in Los Angeles, put together a video that went for about 15 minutes, just showing photographs of Bruce and Annette and all of us over the years. And it was probably the first time ever I saw Bruce hold back tears. It was very emotional. And as I said yesterday, at the end of it all, coming home yesterday, I found like I was a member of a family again. I hadn't felt that in a long time.
Oh, I'm very happy for you and your family. It's a nice way to end your show at the end of the week on that happy note.
Yeah, but we still have 7 minutes.
Oh.
And I got another call.
I wanted to say something else, too. Our family went, I guess it was last weekend, to the Spirit.
Oh, at the airport.
And had a lovely breakfast, and the menu had really changed. It's still by the airport, and you get that, but it was very, very nice.
I like going,
I was pleased with the food.
I like going there for breakfast.
Okay. Look forward to our time together.
All right. Thank you, Marilyn. Have a good weekend. Let's go to Ben in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Ben.
Hi.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. What's up?
So, I'm 9.5 years old, and I heard that it was free, kind of free discussion time.
Yes.
And so I was thinking, sometimes my mom turns on the radio when we're driving home, and I don't understand the topic.
Yeah.
So maybe try and include a kid-friendly local topic, throw in one of those every couple of weeks.
You know, Ben, there are some times when I'm listening and I don't understand the topic. That's a joke, Ben. Ben, what kind of topics would you like to hear us discuss? What's on your mind as a kid these days?
Well, something that every kid would be interested in. Maybe, like, something that's, like, new. That's kind of like maybe Star Wars Land just opened, so that's kind of like not local, but all kids know about, and it's kind of fairly new.
Would you like to go to that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Here, let me, you're 9.5 years old, Ben?
Yeah.
Do you have a cell phone?
What?
Do you have a cell phone? Are you allowed by your parents to have a cell phone?
Mm-mm.
Good. I think you should ask your parents to take you to Disneyland.
Yeah.
All right, so Ben, you want more kid-friendly topics?
Yes.
All right.
Please.
Greg and I will take that under consideration. Greg, what were we saying?
Well,
popular MMOs?
Well, do you want to talk about popular MMOs or Minecraft?
I guess something that's kind of like maybe not like something that keeps kids away from each other, like video games. They're usually like inside playing, not like outside and talking, but something like maybe will bring kids closer.
We got to get kids off their devices and having them talking to each other more. You hear that? Ben, that's an excellent suggestion. Thank you for calling in and suggesting that, and have a good weekend. Well said. We go to Deb in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Deb.
I don't know if it's come up, but it's really getting tiresome of all the words we can't use now. Like, I think it was Berkeley's doing away with the term manhole. I think it was manhole.
Really?
You can't use. They want to single gender it to have it be a maintenance hole now. And it seems like it's getting to the point where it's ridiculous.
So no more manholes, just maintenance holes.
Right.
Wow.
And there's a whole slew of them that I just heard on the news. Gosh, just like a couple hours ago when I was driving, I heard there were a few of them and it's getting to the point where it's laughable. Not laughable, but ridiculously laughable. Because it's just going off the deep end.
That sounds like the perfect topic for next week. I will have to investigate. So in Berkeley, I'm not surprised. In Berkeley, you can't call it a manhole. It's got to be a maintenance hole.
Right. Well, I think that's the term that they chose. There's another city that's doing it, too. And the other city, I think it's someplace in Pittsburgh or someplace back east where they had several of them, and they're trying to make them all like non-gender specific terms. And so, you know, instead of saying mankind, you would do humankind. Kind of thing. But it's getting to the point where it's just ridiculous.
We will pursue that. All right, Deb, thank you. Have a good weekend. We'll go to LaRonda on KVEC. Hi, LaRonda.
Hey, Dave.
Hey.
Sounds like you had a good vacation.
I did.
And you were talking yesterday about Vancouver, and I wholeheartedly agree. I love Vancouver.
I love that town.
Vancouver. And Stanley Park is awesome.
Yes, it is. To me, Vancouver is what San Francisco used to be. Clean, exciting.
Yeah, and when you're at Stanley Park and you look over at downtown Vancouver and all those skyscrapers.
I took several photos.
It's just awesome. The only thing I didn't like about Stanley Park was all the raccoons. There were raccoons everywhere. They're scary in a pack. They're not so scary one at a time, but in a pack, they're horrifying.
Wow.
But that was my only negative about Stanley Park. And the people in Vancouver are so nice.
The Canadians in general are
friendly. Yeah, they're not afraid of people. They're very open. I just had a great time there.
I'm glad, Rhonda. Thank you for calling in. Let me squeeze in Carolyn in Morro Bay. Hey, Carolyn.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, Carolyn.
I'll make this quick. Your anniversary people and your family get together and all.
Yes.
That really hit me. That really touched home with me. After my dad passed away, the family fell apart. Yeah. And we haven't even seen or talked or written or called each other in like 15 years.
I'm sorry to hear that, Carolyn. I am literally out of time. Let's pursue that. Thank you for calling. Thank you to Craig Hill. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. I'm Dave Congleton. Now, Oliver, get out of my chair. I'm coming home. Good night.